Turning back to Proverbs 3, we're up to verse 13. This is a poetic section of God's Word. And as poetry, it has couplets, phrases that go together. So there are six of them, and then there are two of them, and then there are six of them. It divides up as verses 13 to 18, and then verses 19 to 20, and then verses 21 to 26. And that's important because we are going to see how the Word of God speaks to us generally, to all humankind, and then it speaks of how the Lord uses wisdom, and then it speaks to the Son. We're all included in that. But it's important for us to see how the Lord is telling us something about the value of wisdom. Wisdom that is compared to a tree of life. This is God's word. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Precious word of the living and the true God. Blessed be his name. The way that we are led into the knowledge of wisdom through this poem, speaking of the man that findeth it, the man, but it's actually a general term. It's speaking of humanity in general. The man that finds wisdom is happy. And by the time we get down to verse 18, the word happy is used again. This is a way of emphasizing the theme that's in a particular section of Scripture, happy to happy. It's speaking of blessing. It's speaking of blessing in a way that we're reminded of in the teaching of Jesus Christ. As Jesus in Matthew 5 speaks of those who are blessed because they're poor in spirit, those that mourn, those that are meek, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that are merciful, they're blessed. Those that are pure in heart, those that are peacemakers, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, blessed, happy. And this passage is saying, happy is the one in the group of human beings who finds wisdom. It's a blessed place. And by the time we get to verse 18, it's actually going to be shown to be the tree of life that you're able to hold on to retain. This is true happiness. This is true blessing. This is what we are being led to consider today. You know, back last week, we started, and maybe I went a little fast at the beginning when I was introducing the passage, but we read from Job 5:17. where Eliphaz says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." And we saw in verses 11 and 12 of our passage that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord, because that's how he shows his love. What is the goal of all of that? Well, from the standpoint of Proverbs, it's wisdom. From the standpoint of Proverbs, it's the kind of wisdom that will make you blessed, that will make you happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Find and get, those are active words. In the book of Proverbs, we are being told to seek and to try to locate the wisdom that is given to us by God. Wisdom is of great value. It's so great in value that it is being compared to precious metals. As we look at verses 14 and 15, it's superior to them. The merchandise of it, that's wisdom, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom is being declared to you from God's word, and God's word compares it to a woman, a very powerful woman who is able to give you things that you cannot get for yourself. Verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Length of days, riches and honor. This is what wisdom is able to give you. And it's being compared to the things that are typically considered to be most valuable. Rubies, silver, and gold. I read an article about Venezuela. Venezuela, where there was a lot of economic impact in the past year. And suddenly, on the shore of a place in Venezuela, a very small community, valuable gold started washing up onto the shore, and people began to find it. And it was amazing. People actually began to go down to the shore and dig, and they found a lot of gold. And now they're trying to determine when this gold was made and where it came from, all of these valuable items that are just coming to the shore. Wouldn't that be great? Solve all my financial problems. The people of that community immediately sold them for food because they needed food. But it was provided for them in a mysterious way. But you're being told that you have something that is more valuable than even gold. Even gold when you are hungry. Something that is more valuable than that. That is better. The outcome of wisdom and wise living in the book of Proverbs is often viewed as being prosperous and having a financial state of peace and tranquility. We know it's not always that way in a fallen world, but the book of Proverbs often connects the two. But we should never miss the point that wisdom is better. Wisdom is more valuable. Wisdom is more precious. The merchandise of it, the transaction that you have to engage in to get it is better than the transaction that you engage in to get silver. And the gain of wisdom is better than that of fine gold. What was it that Jesus said? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Wisdom. Wisdom that comes from God. That's what we are to seek and to obtain And many times we think it's just gonna come to us. That's, I mean, God's the wise one. If he doesn't give me wisdom, I don't have it. But these verses are talking to us about something that is active. Finding wisdom in verse 13, getting understanding. And part of the finding of wisdom is to understand the comparison of what wisdom is compared to riches, compared to things that men, women, and boys and girls strive after. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Proverbs is an amazing book because God has not yet revealed all of the fullness of what wisdom represents in Jesus Christ. And yet he takes this Hebrew language and he uses the feminine word to make wisdom a person, so that the people of God might see wisdom as personal, personified, that they might begin to make the connection between wisdom and the benefits of wisdom that come as wisdom is personified. In the ancient Near East, there was an Egyptian goddess named Ma'at that had benefits that were given to people. Ma'at would pass out these benefits or bestow them on people like gifts. But God is actually drawing you to see wisdom as the giver of these gifts. This gift comes from wisdom. Now, we're going to find out in verse 18 that it's compared to the tree of life, but it's not quite that tree. It's something else. There's a tree of life in Genesis. You remember, there's a tree of life in Revelation. And those who have the right to eat of this tree of life are able to live forever. They're able to live in a higher state. But wisdom is being described to you as this tree of life. It's not the only place in Proverbs where this happens. What is this wisdom that's like a tree of life? What is this wisdom that's being compared to a lady wisdom, a woman? It's God's word. It's the wisdom that comes from God's book. It's the wisdom that is being given to you right now as you read this passage, as you meditate upon it. The wisdom that is being given to you is more precious than rubies. It's better than anything that you could possibly desire. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. In other words, having wisdom is a place of contentment. And we'll find out in verses 21 to 26 that it also gives us other benefits. But I want you to see this right now because it's odd to us that the place of wisdom is described as a woman and now called a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. A tree of life. We think of that as a physical tree. We think of that as the tree that was in the garden. The tree of life that Adam and Eve could not eat of because they ate of the other tree. And the tree that shows up in the book of Revelation. The tree of life that gives us life forever with God. How is it that wisdom is now being described as this tree of life? You see, in between those two times, in between the garden and the time when we are given the right to eat of that tree of life, we're being told about this tree, the wisdom tree. The tree that is given to you that you might grow in wisdom today. This is what you are being told to value, told to desire. This tree of life that gives you the fullness of life, it brings you blessing. We found out at the beginning in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now in verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Seek wisdom. We can see from the standpoint of the book of Proverbs why this is an important place for the Holy Spirit to accent wisdom as a woman. Because the book of Proverbs is going to talk about relationships with women, especially to young men. And it's going to talk to them about the foolishness of those paths. And by the time we get to Proverbs 31, we find out about the virtuous woman, the woman who has all of these qualities of character that are to be desired. And so the Bible, using this language, speaks to us of wisdom in feminine terms. But don't miss the point. Jesus Christ is wisdom from God. Jesus Christ in the fullness of revelation is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As you desire wisdom, you desire him. But God is not afraid to speak in terms of feminine personality and the tree of life that was given in the garden to speak of wisdom. Because wisdom is one of his attributes. Wisdom is part of what God uses in the world. We have an example of this if we look at verses 19 to 20. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. If everyone is being called upon to go after wisdom, to seek to find it, because it's a tree of life, because you need to lay hold of her, you need to embrace her, you need to understand that the Lord uses wisdom, his wisdom. And his wisdom is on a very deep level. By the time we get to chapter 8, we're going to find out that it's the way that the earth and everything that we know it was formed. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Not only are you being told that wisdom is more valuable than rubies, you're being told the Lord uses it. The Lord uses wisdom. I have a very practical example for you. Peck came over to our house yesterday. He helped us a great deal. I had this downspout that was broken, so the water would pour down from our gutters down to the ground, and we have a part of our basement that's wall that's missing, so the water would pool up there and then travel down into the basement and, of course, spread across the floor, creating lots of problems. So Peck came over to help us with our downspout. So I presented to him the downspout that I had on the porch, which was square-shaped, and he put in the downspout that was above, that was cylinder-shaped, and it didn't seem like the two matched. Pet has never been to our house before. How did he know to reach down and to grab the downspout that was down inside the pipe and pull up on it? Lo and behold, there was the rest of the downspout. He attached the two and the job is done. It's wisdom. He had never been to our house before, but he understood how downspouts work. He understood that a square downspout is likely not the downspout that we need. It's a very simple example. You might think, well, I could have figured that out. But see, this is how the Lord is. He understands the work of the universe. He understands how things are formed. And this is the one that you are about to hear about in verse 26 as your confidence. The one that you are going to be told will enable you to walk safely in verse 23. The one who will enable you to lie down and not be afraid. The one who will enable you to not be afraid of sudden fear. Because he formed the world through his wisdom. By his wisdom, he founded the earth. By his understanding, hath he established the heavens. We see a very dramatic example of this in the life of Jesus Christ as he's there on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are very concerned about this huge storm that comes up suddenly, and they're concerned for their lives. They think they're about to be no more. And Jesus is sleeping on the boat. He wakes up, he rebukes the wind and the waves. Because you see, he founded them. It's through wisdom that God founded the world. Lady Wisdom in the book of Proverbs, but by the time we get to the fullness of Revelation, Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, able to silence the wind and the waves. And there are things that we take for granted in these verses. You go out in the morning and you see dew on the ground. Where did that come from? Well, if you look online, you can find it pretty easily. John Piper has a reflection on rain. And he quotes from the book of Job, and then he reflects on rain. What is rain? Rain is a whole lot of water that weighs a great deal. And he gives you numbers. But water weighs more than air. And yet, it's brought up into the air through the process of evaporation. And then up in the air, there's a process of condensation. But you see, God, in his wisdom, is able to provide for the condensation to take place so that the water drops without evaporating before it reaches the ground. Where does this dew come from? God, in his wisdom, provides it. In the ancient Near East, there was the wonder of dew appearing on grass and trees and even places on the ground because they were used to desert-like conditions. Dew was a wondrous thing. And sometimes we think we understand it. We have weather forecasters. We understand how downspouts work. We understand a lot of things. But you know what? A heavy amount of water falls down in little droplets. And this is a present tense word. The clouds drop down. And it appears in the morning. And the truth is, you don't know everything that is involved in making that dew possible. We are beginning to understand something about evaporation and condensation. We're beginning to understand more about humidity, different weather conditions. But forecasters still can't tell you exactly when and where dew is going to fall. God orchestrates it. He orchestrates it every day. And we're meant to see that because we're meant to see wisdom as the means that God uses. This attribute of God, his wisdom, being compared to a tree of life, the place where you can receive length of days and riches and honor, pleasantness and the paths of peace. Part of the way that God has continued to provide for the world. And then the call is given. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. What are you not supposed to let depart? Sound wisdom and discretion. Keep them before you. Keep before you the fact that God is able to cause the dew to form by the same wisdom that he used to found the earth in the first place, to establish the heavens. The one who knows the depths and causes them to be broken up according to his knowledge. That one who's able to give you wisdom through the book of Proverbs, through the word of God, the wisdom that guides you. And it has surprisingly practical benefits. Sound wisdom and discretion. Well, no, okay. Yeah, I know there are certain times like when I
when I'm supposed to go before a judge, I know I need wisdom. Taking my SATs, need wisdom then. But wisdom is actually given to us in a more practical, everyday level. Listen to this. Let not sound wisdom and discretion depart from your eyes. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. We've seen this language of an ornament on your neck before. The public display of wisdom. The display of wisdom that comes at the end. The wisdom that comes at the end of a period of trial. As we read about in a book like the book of James. Listen to this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Temptation, trial, enduring through it is blessed. Because at the end, there is a crown of life. There is a reward for following the wise path. And this is the path that Jesus Christ is leading you on. This is the path that Jesus Christ followed. This is the path that Jesus Christ exhibits in his earthly life. Listen to these words, these very practical words about our everyday life. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Safe passage. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou shalt lie down, then thy sleep shall be sweet. The sleep of Jesus Christ. There on that boat on the Sea of Galilee. Is that your sleep? Some days you'd have to say no. Other days, yes. What is the pathway to being able to lie down and sleep without concern? It's wisdom. Wisdom that's given to you through a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, you know the one who formed the universe. You know the one who's able to orchestrate the appearance of dew on the ground. You know the one who will provide for you a crown of life at the end, your time of trial and suffering. You know the one who himself slept peacefully on that boat and then rose up and rebuked the wind and the waves. You know him every day. You know him, and you are led through the book of Proverbs, through the word of God, to embrace him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how you have this ability to sleep peacefully. It doesn't mean that every single day that you don't experience that you are somehow not saved. But it does mean that when you cannot sleep, that there is a way for you to be able to sleep again peacefully. It's through wisdom. It's through being directed to God's care for you. And the thing that is given to you in this passage that is designed to show you something that you could never have by yourself. Look at verse 25. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Be not afraid of sudden fear. That's easy to say. Don't be afraid. It's much harder when you feel afraid. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. the kind of fear that characterizes the unbeliever, the kind of fear that characterizes people who don't have the wisdom to know that God is the one who orchestrates all of life, who is providing for the dew to come on, to show up on the ground. Be not afraid of sudden fear. And there's a reason given. The word for starts verse 26. For this reason, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence. It's because of who the Lord is. It's because the Lord has provided for you in Jesus Christ, a shepherd, 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. And your life might be kind of like, to you, a downspout that is hidden beneath the ground. And you don't know all of the things that God has provided for you to protect you. Until the Lord shows you all of the things that he has provided for you to keep you from all of the things that the wicked are going to face, the wrath of God pouring down on them. And he simply installs in your life that connection so that you know that he is your confidence. There are many things hidden from us that are below the surface that we don't quite know, but the Lord knows them all. He forms the earth, and he causes the dew to show up on the ground. He causes rain to gather in the clouds. We don't know completely how. But he also knows the heights and the depths of your life. And he knows everything that he has done in your life in those dark times. Those times of suffering, those times where you did not completely understand. It's like showing you how much has been provided for you already. A very long downspout that was under the ground, pulled up, and simply connected to the other spout. And lo and behold, no rain coming down into the basement. You might say, well, I'm kidding.
I could have figured that out for you. And if I would have been there, you would have been using me as an example in this little conversation that we're having. But aren't we talking about something more? We're talking about the Lord being our confidence. We're talking about the fact that he will not keep your foot from being taken. We're talking about Psalm 91. We're talking about Psalm 23. We're talking about Psalm 46. We're talking about the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows you completely and who is your personal Savior. One who knows everything about every trial that you will ever experience, the ones that you haven't even dreamed of yet. And he knows what he's going to do in them. He is going to so orchestrate your trials that you receive a crown of life. The wisdom is like grace to your neck. And so that you are able to rest in him as your confidence instead of experiencing sudden fear. He is fixed the central problem in your life. He has provided for you. And all of the rest is just working out the details. The Lord is your confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence, the word says. See, that's wisdom. The wisdom to know when I lay down, what I can change, what I cannot change. What is under the Lord's control. What he is able to provide for me. All of that is part of this length of days, riches and honor, ways of pleasantness, and peaceful paths. All of that is part of the way in which the Bible says that the Word of God, given to you by the Spirit of God, pointing you to the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, is a tree of life to you. This is life-giving. In the midst of trials, in the midst of sleepless nights, in the midst of sudden fear, God knows what he's doing because he's provided for you, Jesus Christ. And as we walk through Luke 22, we saw how the Lord Jesus Christ understood what was happening better than even his enemies and his disciples, certainly better than the high priest. He knew what he was doing. And tonight we'll see how the Lord Jesus Christ knows what he's doing when he comes up to John the Baptist for baptism. Do not think that this one who orchestrated his own work of redemption cannot provide for you on Tuesday. Or maybe Thursday will be the hard day for you this week. I don't know. But the Lord is our confidence.